Okay, so for Siman Tzaliches, what I'd like to do is I'd like to break it up into five general topics. The first thing that we'll, Be'ezras Hashem, discuss will be the methods for determining and accounting for the Isra in a given Taroides. We'll talk about using a Nanju for test tasting or using Shishim to be Mivat Lisser. That'll be the first big topic. The second one, the second big topic will be the difference between Min B'mino and Min B'she'en Amino. The third thing will be if you don't know exactly how much Isser was emitted into a Taraivis. The fourth big topic will be if you need 60 against Isser, if there's less than a Kazais of Isser in your Taraivis. And then the fifth thing will be what exactly can the 60 parts of Heter be comprised of, and in particular, whether Isser can contribute to that, to that 60. Okay. So in terms of the methods for determining or accounting for the Isser in a Taraivis, if you take a look at the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Zayinam and Alpha in Chulin, the Gemara says that there's a story with Rav Yochanan. There are different accounts of what exactly the story was. But the account that we'll deal with for now is that Rav Yochanan was presented with a kashra shayla, some sort of isra v'hatra shayla of kilchis be'ilfis, where there was some sort of non-kosher fish that made its way into somebody's meat stew, that meat dish or something that they were making. And so they came running to Rav Yochanan and asked him, what do we do? So Rav Yochanan said, just have a guy test taste this food. Have a kfeila arama, a non-Jewish baker, test taste this food. And he can let you know if he tastes any of this non-kosher fish in your food. So Rava heard about this, and Rava said, oh, now I know pshat in the brisa. There's a brisa that says that you're not supposed to use the flesh of a pot in order to cook milchuk foods. And similarly, you're not supposed to use a truma pot, a pot that you use to cook truma in order to cook chulin foods. So what happens if you did? So the brisa says, well, if you used a truma pot to cook chulin, just determine if there is a nesinas tam. Determine if there is a contribution of flavor into the chulin, and you'll be fine. If there's no contribution of flavor, you're okay. Similarly, for the fleishikapat that was used for milchigs, so just determine if there is a nesinas tam, if there's a contribution of flavor into the milchig food that you cooked up in this pot, and if there's no fleishikataste in that milchig food, then you're okay. So Rava said, I understood how it's possible to determine if there's presence of truma ta'am in chulin food, because you can just have a kohen test taste this. But how on earth are you supposed to determine if there's an asinus ta'am of basar, of fleshek ta'am into the milchuk food that you were cooking in this pot? So now that we have Rav Yochanan, I understand Pshat and the Braisa, because Rav Yochanan tells us that we can rely upon a kfeil arama. Rav Yochanan tells us that we can rely upon a guy in order to test taste the food. And that's what this Braisa means, that you can rely upon a guy to make sure to let you know that there's no fleshek taste in this milchuk food. Now Rava continues, and Rava says, Amar Rabbanan b'tama, Amar Rabbanan b'kfeila, Amar Rabbanan b'shishin. The Chazal tell us that there are three methods for determining or accounting for the Isser in a Taraivas. The first one is b'tama, by test tasting. So that's like our case of the Kohen, that the Kohen can test taste the chulin food in order to make sure that the tam of the truma food is not in there as well. The kfeila, well, now we know what that is. The kfeila is that you can use a non-Jewish baker in order to determine whether there's isser in your pot. So if you have chaylev that was melted into your mashed potatoes, so you can ask the kfeila to test taste this food to make sure that there's no chaylev in there. And then shishim, when would you use shishim? So the Gemara says, if you can't use a kfeila for some reason, either because we're dealing with a case of min b'mino, which Be'ezras Hashem will discuss a little bit later, or because a kfeila is not available for whatever reason, then you can resort to shishim. And you can assume that if there's 60 parts of heter, that's reason to assume that the Isser was batal. So there is a big question among the Rishonim that when you're using a non-Jew in order to test taste your food, does he have to be Mesich Levitumo? Does he have to be a professional? So in particular, the Baal HaTosfos really jump in right away on the Gemara, and they say, how on earth could you use a non-Jewish baker in order to determine whether there's a presence, a tam of Isser in your food? How can you possibly use a non-Jewish baker? How does that help? How can you rely on a non-Jew for this kind of thing? So the Baal HaTosfos say, oh, that's exactly why he has to be a kfeila. He has to be a baker because his profession is being put to the test. And therefore, he's going to tell the truth. Now, the Ran takes this one step further, and the Ran says, therefore, he should not be Mesiach Levi Tumah. Normally, we want him to be total. We want to, if we're going to use a guy for Eidos, certainly for Eidos Isha, we want him to be Mesiach Levi Tumah. We want him to be totally unaware that we need him for something, and that we're asking him innocently, what do you know about X, Y, or Z? But in this case, we don't want him to be Mesiach Levi Tumah. We want him to know that this is important to us, and that we care about this, and that way, he'll have more motivation, he'll realize that there's more at stake over here, and that his expertise is being called to the test. Okay, so that's Tosfos and the Ran. However, if you take a look, Rashi says that he does have to be a Mesiach Levi Tumah. Not only does he have to be a Kfela Arma, not only does he have to be a professional non-Jewish baker, but he also has to be Mesiach Levi Tumah. The Rush makes note of the fact that he should be Mesiach Levi Tumah, but it's not clear, at least the way that the Beis Yosef presents the Rush, it's not clear if he's taking a stance about the Kfela part. In other words, according to the Rush, we do find this idea that the non-Jew should be Mesiach Levi Tumah, but it's not clear if the Rush holds that he also has to be a kfela. So we have the Balei Tosfos and the Ran who seem to say that he should be a kfela, but not Mesiach Levi Tumah. We have Rashi who says that this non-Jew that we're using to test is should be Mesiach Levi Tumah and a kfela. And we have the Rashi who says he should be Mesiach Levi Tumah, but not necessarily that he should be a kfela. The Rashba comes along and the Rashba says, well, actually, he can be either a kfela or he can be Mesiach Levi Tumah. The whole idea here is that we're trying to motivate him not to lie. We have to alleviate this concern that he might lie. And so as long as we alleviate in one way or another, either because we make it that he's a professional, and if he's a professional, he doesn't want to risk his profession or his expertise, or he can be Mesiach Levi Tumah, in which case either one of those is grounds to say that he's not going to lie. The astounding thing is the Rambam. The Rambam, at least as understood by the Beis Yosef, the Rambam in Machalos Asuros says that you can use a guy, and you should use a guy, in order to test taste your food, but you don't need either of these things. He doesn't have to be a kfeil, he doesn't have to be a professional, and he doesn't have to be Mesiach Levi Tumah. So again, just to chaz over the basic range of the Shitos, at one extreme we have Rashi's opinion that the guy that we're using to test taste the food should be a kfeila and it should be Mesiach Levi Tumah. At the other extreme we have the Rambam, who seems to say that he doesn't have to be a kfeila and he doesn't have to be Mesiach Levi Tumah. And then the middle Shitos, we have the Rashba, who says he can either be a kfeila or can be Mesiach Levi Tumah. We have the Rashi, who says he should be Mesiach Levi Tumah, but not necessarily that he has to be a kfeila. And we have the Balei Tosfos and the Ran, who seem to say that he should be a kfeila and he should not be Mesiach Levi Tumah. Okay, now, so in terms of how do we paskin, if you take a look, the Beis Yosef basically says that if you're going to use a guy in order to test taste your food for Isser, he should be either Mesiach Levi Tumah or he should be a kfeila. And he says that in light of the Rambam, by the way. He says, given the fact that the Rambam is so makel, so now we can kind of bounce back a little bit to be makel towards the Rashba and the Ran, that he can be either a kfeila or he can be Mesiach Levi Tumah. Okay, that's in terms of using a non-Jew to test taste your food. Now, in terms of the other geder for determining or accounting for the Isra Netarivas, what about Shishim? We know we're all familiar with the idea of Bitl B'Shishim, but when we talk about Bitl B'Shishim, does that mean that you also need somebody to test taste that food? So this is a big machlokes among the Rishonim. Rashi, again, seems to take a little bit more of a more machmer stance, and Rashi says that you need both. If you can get both, you need both. If you can get hold of a kfeila to test taste this food, then you need to. So you need 60 parts of heter, and you need a kfeila to test taste the food. The Rush sides with the Ri, who hold that you need one of them. You need either 60 parts of heter, or you need a kfeila to test taste it, but you definitely don't need both. And then the Rambam has a little bit more of the middle ground, that he says that you need to have a kfeila test taste it, and that's the end all and be all according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, the lichatchila you should always get a kfeila, and it doesn't really make a difference if the kfeila is telling you that there's no taste, even when there aren't 60 parts of heter, or that he's telling you that there is taste of Isser in this Tarivis, when there is definitely 60 parts of heter, it doesn't really make a difference. The end-all and be-all is the kfeila. Now, what happens if you absolutely cannot get hold of a kfeila, either because it's a case of min bimino, so it's not relevant, or because you just can't get hold of the kfeila? So then The Rambam would say that would allow you that b'di'evid you can rely upon 60 parts of heter to presume that there's no scent of isra in this pot. Now, the Ramban is a slightly more nuanced approach. The Ramban says, well, actually, it depends if there's mamashus of Isra in the pot. If there's mamashus of Isra in this taraivas, so then you're definitely going to need 60 parts of heter against the Isra. Once you have 60 parts of heter, you don't have to bother with the kfeila. What if there isn't mamashus of Isra in the pot? Let's say there's only tam of Isra in the pot. So then that's when you can rely upon the kfeila to determine whether there's the presence of that Isra in your pot. So again, just to chazer over the range, in terms of whether you need 60 parts of heter against the Isra in addition to the kfeila, Rashi says you definitely need both. If you can get both, you need both. We have the Rambam who says the end-all and be-all is the kfeila, that he should be test-tasting this food. We have the Rush and the Ri who said you can get away with one or the other. You need either 60 or you need a kfeila to test taste this. And we have the Ramban who says it really depends on whether there's 60 parts, whether there's mamashas or whether there's tam. Now, in terms of how we paskin, if you take a look at the Mechaber in the beginning of Simon Tzadiches, the Mechaber says, "Iser shenitzar beheter min b'shein amino kigon chaylev shenitzar bebasar yitamenu guy." So the first point to take note of is that the Mechaber doesn't mention anything about this guy being a nachtam. He just says he has to be a guy. Im omer she'ein bo tam chaylev, if he tells you that there's no tam chaylev, o she'omer she'yesh bo tam ela shehu pagum mutter v'hu shelo yehesof lashbiach v'tzarech shelo yeida she'somchan alav. The Mechaber tells you that this guy that you're using to test taste your food, you better make sure that he's mesiach lefitumo. So now, if you would have stopped right there, it sounds like the Mechaber is saying, oh, so you can use a guy, he doesn't have to be a kveila, but he's got to be Mesiach Levitumah. So it's not clear quite just yet who he's paskening like. But if you read on a little bit, the Shach has a diak in the Hemshech of this Mechaber. The Shach and the Mechaber continues, and he says, Vim ein sham guy letomo, if you can't get hold of a guy, Mesha Arinan Beshishim, then you can resort to 60 parts of Heter. So the Shach says, in light of this line over here, it seems like that for the Mechaber is telling you that really, mitchila, the thing that you should do in order to determine the presence of Isser, is you should have a guy test taste the food. He doesn't have to be a professional, he should be Mesiach Levitumo, but you should use a guy in order to test taste the food. Now if you absolutely cannot get hold of a guy, so then you can resort to 60 parts of to using bittul b'shishim. So the Shach says clearly the Mechaber seems to be paskening like the Rambam. Now, if you take a look at the Darkei Maisha, quotes from the Agur, that the Agur says that nowadays we don't use Gaim in order to test taste anymore. In fact, the Raman, right over here on the spot, he actually paskins this way, Lalach. He says, according to the Ramah, we use 60 parts of Heter for everything. Now, the Shach has an interesting diag over here. The Shach says, well, so clearly, what do you see from the Ramah? It's not that we're not experts in test tasting anymore, it's just that we don't rely upon Goyim to test taste anymore, right? The line is, so the Mashmos then is that if you'd have a scenario that you can resolve the issue by Jew test tasting, then there's no problem. So if you'd have an example like Truma that made its way into Chulin, so then you can have a kind to test taste it. Truma doesn't really seem to be relevant anymore nowadays, but maybe it's possible to have a case where you could use the Jews to test taste, says the Shach, in a case where somebody made a neder not to eat a certain food, and that food made its way into Taroivet. So then you could rely upon a Jew to test taste that food. He gives you another case of where it's Shach to be able to use a Jew to test taste the food. Fine. Okay, but that's in terms of, number one, using the non-Jew to test taste your food, and number two, in terms of using shishim. Okay, now, the next major topic over here is the difference between min b'mino and versus min b'she'en amino. And I guess the first issue that we'll deal with is tam keker. If you say min b'she'en amino, is it din d'oraisa or not? Now, if you take a look in the Gemara in Chulin, daf tzadiches amud aleph, this Gemara really it goes from Tzadik Chesam Aleph through Tzadik Chesam Aleph. The Gemara wants to know what's the makar for 60, right? We know that there's this idea of Bittul B'Shishim, but where do you get the number 60 for? Where do you get the number 60 from? So the Gemara says the Makar comes from the Parsha of Zerubbabel Shelah, when the Nazir brings his carbon right at the end of the Nazir. So the Nazir has to bring one of the carbons that he brings is a carbon shlamim. So that carbon shlamim is an aisle. He has to bring a ram. So the pasuk says, "Well, kacha hakohen says Zerubbabel Shelah min aisle." The kohen is entitled to the zeroa that was cooked up along with the rest of the ram. And now the Bailim, the Nazir, is the one who gets to eat the rest of the animal. But the Kohen is entitled to eat the Zeroa. Now, the Gemara has a question. The Gemara says, well, I don't understand. If you're cooking up the Zeroa, which is a Matnas Kuhuna, and you're cooking that Zeroa up together along with the rest of the aisle, why aren't we concerned that there's going to be a contribution of flavor of this Zeroa into the rest of the aisle? And if that's the case, then how is it possible for the Nazir to be able to eat his portion of this carbon? So the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you what pshat is. And there are different kashbonos that the Gemara makes because there are really two shitos about whether you need 60 parts of heter or 100 parts of heter. But either way, the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the pshat is. The pshat is because there's 60 parts of heter. And because you have 60 parts of heter, that's mevatel, that whatever iser, whatever tam, the zeroa would contribute to the rest of the aisle. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So you're telling me now that this is the makar for 60 parts of heter. In other words, the whole concept of bit b'shishim is rooted in the zeroa b'shelah. The problem with saying that, says the Gemara, is that there's a brisa. The brisa says explicitly, zehu heter abam michlal iser. This, the case of zeroa b'shelah, is an example of a heter abam michlal iser. It's an exception to the rule, that here's a heter, where the rule is generally that such a case would be yasser, here's an exception. So it sounds like, in general, we would say that there is no such thing as bittul b'shishim. So how are you telling me now that zeroa b'shelah serves as the paradigm for bittul b'shishim by shaar yisurim in the Torah? So the Gemara gives three basic answers to address this question. The one that's important for us is Rava's question, Rava's answer. Rava tells us, I'll tell you what the pshat is. When the Braisa says, that this is the exception to the rule, it doesn't mean that this is exception to the rule, to the universal rule, that tam ki'ikar renders a dish as asr. That's not what the pshat is. This is the exception to the rule within the world of kachim, that generally tam ki'ikar is a big, big problem within the world of kachim. So here's an exception to the rule within kachim. But now comes Rashi. Rashi says, so clearly though, what does Rava hold about Chulin? What does he hold about Shaar Yisurim outside of the world of Kachim? Seems pretty clear that we would say that Tam Ki Iker, the fact that an Isra contributes Tam to some other rest of the Taravis, where it's not Kachim, where it's just Tam Chulin, sounds like that wouldn't be an Isra Daraisa. The only place that it's an Isra Daraisa would be in the context of Kachim. Now, Rashi has a very big raya to this idea. There's a big kashan Rashi in the Gemara Pesachim, which he laughed at because he says the Gemara Pesachim that talks about mishras, about soaking up grapes in a vat of water, that might be usher for the nazir. That's really only an asmachta, says Rashi. But the big raya that Rashi has for his yisoid is from the Gemara Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Avodah Zarah daf samach zayin amud aleph is discussing, are you chayv malchus if you eat a taroivis that contains iser? So Rav Yochanan comes along and he tells us, well, it actually depends. It depends if we're dealing with tam umamasho, if we're dealing with tam velo mamasho. What does that mean? So let's just to loosely translate it for now. It's a big machlokes among the Rishonim exactly how to define these two phrases. But if you have a case of where the iser contributed tam and mamashas, that there's the actual mamashas of this iser flow somewhere around in this taravis, then you're chayv malchus. But if you're dealing with a case where the iser contributed only tam, velo mamasha, that there's no mamasha, so this iser floating around, so then you're not chayv malchus. So says Rashi, why are you not chayv malchus? You're not chayv malchus in the case of tam, velo mamasha, where there's only flavor contributed, because you're not in violation of an iser daraisa. Why are you not in violation of an iser daraisa? Because tam ki'ikar, the idea that tam, that the tam of an iser should be able to render a taravis as aser, that concept is not an iser daraisa. That's at best an iser darabanan. Now, what's the case of tamu mamasho though in the Gemara? When the Gemara says over there that tamu mamasho is an iser daraisa that would warrant malchus, so Rashi explains that's because there's mamashos of the thing of the iser in the taravis, and there's halach lemashu misina that when you have a situation where there's a kazayis bechdei achilas pras, when the ratio of iser daheter is kazayis bechdei achilas pras, so if you would eat a whole pras of that taravis, So then it's inevitable that contained within their prat is a kezayis of Isser, and you would therefore be chayav malchus. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara, the difference between tam u'mamasho versus tam v'lo mamasho, but that's Rashi's raya from the case of tam v'lo mamasho, that you're not chayav malchus. And why you're not chayav malchus? Because so it must be because there's no Isser deraisa. So you see that there's no Isser deraisa when there's only tam, because we say that tam kikr is not a din deraisa according to Rashi. However, the Rebbeinu Tam disagrees. The Rebbeinu Tam says that's not true. Tam ke'ikar is a din daraisa by shari serum as well, not just by kachim. How is Rebbeinu Tam going to understand the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah seemed to be a pretty clear cut raya to Rashi. So the Rebbeinu Tam will tell you that the difference between tam u'mamasho versus tam v'lo mamasho. Why is it that by tam, the case of tam v'lo mamasho, you're not chayv malchus, says Rebbeinu Tam? Because that case really is the case of min b'mino, and min b'mino is actually something that's not asr midaraisa. That's something that's only asr midarabanan. What's the case of tam u'mamasho where you are chayiv malchus, says Rebbeinu Tam? The case of tam u'mamasho is where the iser was nikar and ba'en. In that case, of course, if you ate it, you'd be chayiv malchus. Now, but according to the Rebbeinu Tam, though, there's a very, very big chiddush that emerges, and that is that the idea of tam ke'ikar is that when you have tam of iser that permeates the rest of the heter, even if there isn't a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, even if there's no mamashas within this taravis, if there's just tam of the iser that permeated the rest of the heter, the tam of that iser converts every molecule of heter into iser. And therefore, it's not just that a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras would warrant malchus. The first kezayis that you eat of that taravis is going to warrant malchus, according to the Rebbeinu Tam. Because according to the Rebbeinu Tam, it's not just kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, it's that every ounce of heter that's in that taravis has been converted to iser by means of tam ke'ikr. Now, Rabbeinu Chaim HaKoyin, he sides with Rabbeinu Tam on the idea that tam ke'ikr is a din daraisa. So he disagrees with Rashi on that point. He agrees with Rabbeinu Tam, just he has a slightly different Havana in that Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And he says that the difference between tam u'mamasho versus tam v'lo mamasho, tam u'mamasho certainly is where there's a ratio, the Gemara says this explicitly, that there's a ratio of kezayis b'chdei achilas pras of iser to heter. And the case of tam v'lo mamasho is a case of where there is not that ratio of kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. There's less iser in that than kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. And so you're not chayv malchus, even though there is tam contributed by that iser to the taravis of containing heter. Now, why is it that if there's tam of iser in there, and you can taste the tam of iser, why is it that you're not chayv malchus according to Rabbeinu Chaim HaKoyin? So he explains that the idea is as follows: if you'd be eating a piece of iser itself, we know that you wouldn't be chayv malchus unless you had a kezayis of that piece of iser b'chdei achilas pras. So it's impossible to say that when you have iser that contributes tam to a taravis containing heter, it's impossible to say that if you're eating this now and you're not eating a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, because there isn't a ratio of iser of kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. So then it can't be that you're going to be chayv malchus in such a case. So when would you be chayv malchus? As long as that ratio is met. In other words, as long as the taravis contains a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, so now the entire taravis gets converted to iser. And therefore, the first kezayis that you have, you'd be chayv malchus. So just to be mesader again, just the what we've said so far within the topic of min v'mino versus min v'shein amino, we said we have the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Ches Tzadi Tes that tries to figure out the makar for shishim. We said the makar is from Zerah B'Sheila. The Gemara says, you're telling me the makar for shishim is from Zerah B'Sheila. The Brisa says explicitly that Zehu Heter Bab Mechlal Iser, that this is the exception to the rule. Sounds like the rule in general is that Tam Ke'ikar would be a problem, that Bittu B'Shishim is not possible. So the Gemara says, no, so Rav explains that Zehu Heter Bab Mechlal Iser is that this is an exception to the rule of Kachim. But by Shari Surim, Avada, we would say that Bittu B'Shishim helps. Now, what Rashi understand from here is that the only time the tam ke'ikar is a problem on a deraisa level is in the context of kachim, but not by shari surim. And so Rashi's raya is from the Gemara Avodah Zarah from Rabbi Yochanan's statement that we say that there's a difference between tam u'mamasho of iser versus tam v'lo mamasho. When you have a taravis of iser v'heter, are you chayv malchus? So the Gemara says when you have tam v'lo mamasho, if you have just tam of the iser, you're not chayv malchus. Why not chayv malchus? Says Rashi, because tam ke'ikar is not a din deraisa by shari surim. The Rebbeinu Tam and the Rebbeinu Chaim HaKoyin disagree with this point. And Bein Tam says that's not true. Avada, if you have tam of iser in a taravis, the tam converts every molecule of heter into iser and you chayiv malchus for the first kazayas that you eat. Reino Chaim Kohen says that's true only if there's a ratio of kazayas bechdei achilas pras of iser in that taravis. Now, in terms of psak, the Beis Yosef tries to line up the Rishonim to figure out who holds what. And he says, it seems that the Ramban, the Ran, and the Rambam all hold like Rashi. In other words, that Tam Ke'ikar is not a din d'araisa b'shari surim. However, the Ravid, the Bahag, the Ri, the Rashba, they all paskin like the Rebbeinu Tam. So the Torah paskins like the Rebbeinu Tam as well. And the Darkei Moshe paskins like the Rebbeinu Tam. And if you take a look, as we'll get to in a few minutes, it seems to be that the Mechaber passes that way as well in Siman Tzadi Ches. Now, in terms of Min B'mino, there is a big question if you say the Min B'mino is Oser B'mashu or if it's Oser B'nosin Tam. If you take a look, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, there's a mission over there that discusses Yayin Nesach. We know that Yayin Nesach is definitely Oser to eat or to drink. So the Mishnah is discussing that if you have yayin nesach or mayim that was used for nisuchim for avodah zarah, the halacha is that not only is it aser, but if that would find its way in the taravis, it could aser that taravis b'mashim. What that means is as follows: if you have a case of min b'mino, if you have some yayin nesach, even one drop of yayin nesach that you dropped into your bucket filled with or your keg filled with wine, the entire barrel would become aser, because yayin nesach is oser b'mashu in a case of min b'mino. Similarly, for water that was used for nisuch, for avodah zarah, if you have one droplet of water that you dropped into a great big bucket filled with water, the entire bucket of water becomes aser. However, what would happen if it would be a case of min b'shein amino? Let's say I had a great big bucket of water, and I took a little droplet of yayin nesach, and I dropped it into that great big bucket of water. So it says the Mishnah, in order for the yayin nesach to be oser, b'she'en amino, you would need a shir nesinas tam. So the Mishnah says that when we're dealing with yayin nesach, it's oser, if it's a case of min b'mino, it's oser b'mashu. If it's a case of min b'she'en amino, it's oser b'nosin tam. Now the Mishnah wraps things up and says, zeha klal, whenever you're dealing with min b'she'en amino, it's oser b'nosin tam, and whenever you're dealing with min b'mino, it's oser b'mashu. So the Gemara in Ein Gimel Amud Beis presents a machlokes amaraim of how exactly to interpret this Mishnah. The big question is whether you say that this rule of Oser B'mashuhu in the case of Min B'mino and Oser B'nosin Tam by Min B'shein Amino, is that something that's unique to Yayin Nesach, or is this a concept that applies by Shari Surim as well? So Rav and Shmuel over there say that the Pasha Pshah in the Mishnah originally starts telling you the din by Yayin Nesach, and so it tells you that Yayin Nesach is Oser B'mashuhu in the case of Min B'mino, and it's Oser B'nosin Tam in the case of Min B'shein Amino. But then the Mishnah wants you to know that, by the way, this is not something unique to Yayin Nesach. This applies to all Yisurim as well. And therefore the Mishnah wraps things up by saying, this is the klal, that whenever you have a case of min b'mino, it's oser b'mashu, and whenever you have a case of min b'shein amino, it's oser b'nosin tam. So according to Rav and Shmuel, by every case of Isra in the Torah, you would say that by a case of min b'mino, it's oser b'mashu. However, Rish Lakish and Yochanan come along and they say, no, that's not pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling you a din that's unique to Yayin Nesach. And the Mishnah is telling you, when it comes to Yayin Nesach is oser b'mashu when it's a case of min b'mino. And it's oser b'nosin tam when it's a case of min b'shein amino. Aye, so why does the Mishnah wrap things up and give this seemingly superfluous line about, here's the basic klal? That's to tell you that there's one more case out there that also fits the bill, and that is Tevel. That Tevel also follows the same rules as Yayin Nesach, that for Tevel, when we're dealing with a case of Min B'mino, it's also B'mashu, and when we're dealing with a case of Min B'shein Amino, it's also B'nosin Tam. But for any other issue in the Torah, whether it's a case of Min B'mino, whether it's a case of Min B'shein Amino, the halach is you need a shir nesinas tam. And the male, if you put two and two together, what that would mean is that you would need 60 parts of heter in order to be mevatel, whatever iser it is, whether it's a case of min b'mino, whether it's a case of min b'she'en amino. So how would we paskin? So if you take a look, there's one more gemara that you have to take a look at. The gemara in Chulin Daf, Kuf Chesam and Aleph, discusses what happens if you're making a great big pot filled, let's say, with meatballs, and there are a number of meatballs in this pot, and a droplet of water hits one of the meatballs. So now the question is, if you need 60 parts of heter within that one meatball in order to be mevatel the tipa shel chalav, or do you need 60 parts of heter, or do all the meatballs in the pot combine to contribute the 60 parts of heter to the 60 parts of heter to be mevatel the tipa shel chalav? So the Mishnah says it really just depends on whether you stirred up the pot very quickly when the tipa shel chalav made its way in. So if you stirred up the pot really quickly as soon as the tipa shel chalav made its way in, so then it gets dispersed throughout everything else, all the meatballs, all the sauce within the pot, and it becomes batel. But if you didn't stir up the pot immediately, so then that one meatball will become aser. So the Gemara in Chulin over there, on Kuf Chesam and Peis, brings a Braisa that discusses a similar case. And the Braisa, in this time, presents a Machlokes Tanan regarding this. And the Braisa says that when you have this Tipa Shel Chalav that hit one meatball, Rabbi Yehuda says that one meatball becomes Usher. Well, if that one meatball becomes Usher, if it didn't have Shishim against it, so now that one meatball is now in an environment of min bimino. And so all the other meatballs become usher as well. And the Chacham say, no, that's not true. You need 60 parts of heter. If you need a nishir nesinas time in the entire pot, all the sauce, all the other things in the pot, you would need a nesinas time into all those things. So the Gemara tries to figure out what the yisod of the machlokes is. So at one point the Gemara suggests that it seems to be that the machlokes revolves around whether you say min bimino batal, whether you say min bimino usher b'mashuhu or not. And so, Rabbi Yehuda's shita would then seem to be that according to that Rabbi Yehuda would seem to hold that min b'mino is oser b'mashu. So Rashi tries to tally up all the scores from all of Rashas, and he says it seems to be that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, now if you're paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, what that would mean is that you hold that min b'mino is oser b'mashu, which means that we're paskining like Rav and Shmuel's interpretation of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah 9 Gimel Beis to say that min b'mino is oser b'mashu by Sharishim in the Torah, not just by Yayin Nesach. However, command all the other Rishonim, Taisvis, the Ran, the Rosh, the Rambam, they all paskin like Rosh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan in Avodah Zarah, to say that min b'mino is not oser b'mashu. Min b'mino is oser with the shear of nesinas tam. Okay, now what's the nafkamina? If you say that min b'she'in amino is a din deraisa, or if it's a din derabanan, the nafkamina is in the case of nishbach. Nishbach means that a portion of the tarovis, or the tarovis in general, got poured out before you could assess whether there were 60 parts of heter against the iser. So, according to the Beinu Tam, the way that it works would be as follows. Let's say a person had some non-kosher wine that got mixed up together with some kosher wine. And people started drinking this bottle of wine before you got around to figuring out that there was non-kosher wine mixed in with your kosher wine. So now you don't know if there was 60 parts of heter of that kosher wine against a little bit of non-kosher wine that got mixed in. So what would we say? So according to Bina Tan, the whole idea, the whole reason that min b'mino would require shishim, that's completely a din derabanan. It's not a din deraisa. Min b'she'en amino is a din deraisa. Min b'mino is only a din derabanan. So if that's the case, as long as you know with certainty that there is 60, that there is roiv of heter, that there is roiv of kosher wine against the non-kosher wine, you'd be fine. So according to the Rabbeinu Tam, if you have a case of min b'mino, as long as you can rest assured that there was definitely roiv of heter, because of the pasuk v'akra and lahatos, as long as you can rest assured that there was roiv of heter, then you're going to be fine. There's not going to be a problem. Now, what about in the case of min b'she'en amino? So in this case, let's say you're making a chalent, and in the chalent you put in beans and barley and meat, and you put in some ketchup, and you ran out of ketchup in the middle. So you dumped in a little bit more ketchup from some other bottle that you had lying around the house. Turns out that little bit of ketchup that you dumped in at the very end was not kosher. So now what's the din? So in this case, when you're dealing with a case of min b'she'en amino, so the halach would be, well, if people started eating the chalent, let's say, before you got a chance to figure out if there were 60 parts of heter against the ketchup that you had in there, so then we would say that you need Then we would say, or let me change the case around a little bit. I'm sorry. That'll be the case for min bimino v'she'in amino. Let's say you just had non-kosher ketchup in your chal. So in the case of non-kosher ketchup, and people were eating the chal before you got a chance to figure out how much heter you had against the iser. So if you had just non-kosher ketchup in the chal, we would say that you would have to be machmir. In other words, knowing definitively that there was a roiv of heter against the iser, that wouldn't be enough for this. You would have to know that you had 60 parts of heter against the iser, according to the Beinu Tam. Now, there is one more case that the Rashba brings up, and that is for a case of min bimino v'she'en amino. In other words, let's go back to the case that I said a second ago. Sorry for confusing you. Let's say you're making a chal. So you put beans and barley and meat, and you put in some kosher ketchup. And then, in addition to the kosher ketchup, you ran out in the middle, and you had a random bottle lying around the house, so you dumped in a little bit of this other ketchup. Turns out that other ketchup was not kosher. And people were eating the chal before you got a chance to figure out if there were 60 parts of heter against it. So now, what do you do? Do you say, on the one hand, there's non-kosher ketchup mixed up together with kosher ketchup, because I used both, so that's a case really of min bimino, so maybe that should be bottled. Berov, or do you say that no, the fact of the matter is that there's min b'she'en amino over here, so maybe it shouldn't be batel and I'd have to be machmer. So it says the Rashba that we would say, and he pulls us out from a din of the Gemara from Rabbi Yehuda, we're not going to go into right now, but the Rashba's halach is that the idea of rayin, that we view the she'en amino component of the chant as though it's not there, and therefore you're just left with a case of min b'mino, and if you're left with just a case of min b'mino, as long as you know that there was more kosher ketchup than the non-kosher ketchup, you'll be fine. Now, the Shach fills in a little bit of the details over here. If you take a look at the Shach notes that Rowan is something that allows us to matter only the Mino component. In other words, the Shach makes a very strong point. The Shach says, I don't really understand. How is it possible to say you had non-kosher ketchup in this chont, and then non-kosher ketchup contributed tam to the other components of the chont, and you don't know if there were 60 parts of potatoes, beans, and barley, whatever else you had, against that little bit of ketchup. So who really cares if you say min bimino? The fact of the matter is that this was no sentam to the rest of the chont. So therefore, the Shach understands that when the Rashba is telling us that min bimino, that we view the shein amino, so it's not there, that's only as far as being able to eat the, let's say, the ketchup portion of this chont. So as long as you want, if you want to eat just the ketchup portion, then it would be kosher. But as far as the shein amino's part is concerned, you wouldn't be able to eat that. Now, the chiddush of the Rashba is that we're able to isolate the two variables, and you don't have to view this like a case of min shein amino to be machmer. Okay, that's just the point that the Shach makes. That's in the Shach, in Tzadik Ches and Sifkat and Ches. Now, by the way, in addition to the point about min b'she'en amino, the Shach has another interesting point. The Shach says, remember, the whole idea by min b'she'en amino, why do we have to be machmer in a case of nishbach? By min b'she'en amino, right? So if you had our case where you had non-kosher ketchup that made its way into the chant, so that's a case of min b'she'en amino. So now the halacha is that let's say it was nishpach, so a portion of the chant was eaten up, let's say, before you got a chance to measure how much chant there was against the iser. So the halacha is that you can't just say, well, as long as there is a rove of shein amino, you'd be okay. Because we're dealing with a din d'oraisa. And because we're dealing with a din d'oraisa, you'd have to be machmer. So sof d'oraisa is luchomra. So says the Shach, well, let's say the isra that's in the chont is only asr midarabanan. So if you're dealing with something that's asr only midarabanan, so then you would be able to be mekel. Because that's just like the case of min bimino. Okay. Now, if you take a look at the Mechaber in terms of how do we pass in for all these points. In other words, number one, as far as min b'shein versus min b'shein amino, do we say the min b'shein amino is a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? And in terms of this nafkamina for nishpach, if you take a look at the Mechaber pretty much outright paskins like the Beinu Tam. And he says as follows. He says in Sif Beis, im nizar min b'mino v'nishpach, excuse me, b'inyin she'in yichulun la'amod olav l'sharo, in no deshaisa rubo heter mutter. In the case of min bimino, as long as you can know definitively that there was rive heter, then you're fine. In lo no deshaisa rubo heter asher. But if you didn't know that there was rive heter, then you're going to be in trouble. Says the mechaber, continuing avol nisar b'shein amino. Let's say you have a case of min b'shein amino vin nishpach, and it got poured out. Some of it got consumed or whatever, before you got a chance to figure out if there was 60 parts of heter against the iser, bin and shame you call in lamor alav l'sharo afilu nor to show you rubo heter. Even if you do know that there was rov of heter against it, aser, it would be aser. The imnis are me b'mino v'shein amino v'nishpach bin and shame you call in lamor alav l'sharo v'nor to show you rubo heter mimino. What about the case of min b'shein min b'mino v'uvishein amino? He says the concept of roni paskins like the Rashba roni shein amino kilo eno v'shar amino rabo love. You can view the Shein Amino as though it's not there. Okay, so the Mechaber pretty much paskins not like Rashi as far as Min Bimino versus Min Shein Amino. He paskins that Min Bimino we could be Makelin in the case of Nishbach, so that's pretty clear like the Sheet of the Bein Tam. Min Shein Amino by a case of Nishbach would have to be Machmer, so that's again like the Sheet of the Bein Tam, not like Rashi. And then for the case of Min Bimino and Shein Amino, he paskins like the Rashba, that you can be makel to say Ryan. And when the Shach fills in, that Ryan is going to help you only for the Min Bimino component, not for the She'en Amino component. Okay, now, we're talking a lot about Min Bimino versus Min B'She'en Amino. What exactly is a Min? How do you define exactly what it is that makes something a Min and a She'en Amino? What means that this is its one kind and this is a different kind? What makes something the same kind or a different kind? So if you take a look in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, there's a famous machlokes between Rav and Abaye. If the defining characteristic of a min is the name of that item, or if it's the taste of that item. So according to Abaye, if any two items taste the same, they are the same min, because we say Basar Tama Azlinan. We follow the time in order to determine whether something, what makes something one min and something a different min. But according to Rava says, no, you don't pay attention to the tam, you pay attention to the name. So the defining characteristic for what makes something one min as opposed to a different min, or one thing different from another, is its name. Now, how do we paskin? So the Mordechai in Chulin, and this is brought down by the Beis Yosef, by the way, the Mordechai paskin is like Rava. In other words, that we would say Azinan, that we say Basar Shema Azinan, we follow the name for determining whether the status of something is one min over another min. And he gives you some interesting examples there about things that are considered the same min over different minim. He says, let's see if chicken and beef, is that one min or two minim? So he says, that's two minim, they have two different names. What about eggs? So he has an interesting idea that he says that all eggs, it doesn't make a difference which birds they came from, all eggs are considered one min. What happens if you have cut up chicken and different kinds of chicken or different kinds of fish, and they're all cut up together, that's all considered one min at that point, because once they're all cut up, they're all one min. Now the Darkei Moshe pretty much disagrees with all of those points, but in terms of how do we paskin, if we say Azlina Basar Tama, or if you say Azlina Basar Shema, so if you take a look in the Rama in Siman Sadeches Siv Beis, the Rama pretty much paskins outright that we say Basar Shema Azlina. And the Rama writes, if I can get it open over here, the Rama writes, a mulinin min bimino as linan basar shema. For as far as categorizing something as one min and a different min, we'd follow the name. If hushava have a min bimino, if it has the same name, it's considered min bimino. Avalo as linan basar taima, im hushava lo. We don't pay attention at all to the taste. So the Shach over here in Sifkat Nevav raises a very important issue. The Shach says, I don't really understand what's going on now. On the one hand, we just got done with the Machlokas between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. And we said that according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the idea is that when you have a case of Min B'She'en Amino, that's Tam Ke'ikr, and Tam Ke'ikr is a Din D'Raisa. And what does it mean that something is Tam Ke'ikr and that it renders the Taraivas as an answer? It means that because you have Tam, because you have taste, that permeates all of the heter in this taraivis, every molecule of heter gets converted to iser. But I understand now, given the geder that we say azlin and basar shema, that the only thing that characterizes something, that defines something as a min, is its name, not the taste. So what that would mean then is that if you have two items that have the exact same taste but different names, that would be a case of min b'shein amino. And if you would have two items that have two different tastes, but the same name, that would mean Mimimino. But that's exactly the opposite of what the lumdus behind Rabbeinu Tam is. Because according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the whole idea of Min B'Shein Amino is that the Tam of the Isser permeates all the Heter, and so it converts all the Heter into Isser. So how does this work? So the Shach therefore says, you've got to take a better look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where we say, Azlin and Basar Shema. v'lo basar taima. That the even though it is true that we do pass like Rava to say azlina basar shema, that's only within a certain context. That's in cases of where the geder, the shear for bittel, is not linked to tam. For example, yayin nesach, or tevel, or truma, these are all things that have nothing to do with 60, or arla. These are all things that have thresholds for bittel that are way higher than 60. So they have nothing to do with time. So for those things, min and mino are dependent upon names. But for anything else, for any kind of issue that is contingent upon, that the shear for bittel is contingent upon tam, so then that would be something that we would say azlina basar taima and not azlina basar shema. That's how the Shraka explains it. Okay. So far we've discussed the first two major topics. We've discussed the methods for determining and accounting for the Isra Netarivis, and we've discussed the differences between min mimino and min mishein mimino. The next major topic that we need to discuss is, let's say you don't know how much Isra was emitted. For example, the case that we often bring up is, let's say you have a piece of nevela that made its way into your chalent, and then you realize suddenly that there's nevela in your chalent. So the question is, so what do you do now? You don't know how much Isser was emitted by that piece of nevela into the rest of your chalent. So what do you do? How much heter do you need against the Isser? So if you take a look, there's a Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis that discusses Kachal for a second. The Gemara discusses it. The sugya for Kachal is really a little bit later in the Gemara. But the Gemara discusses Kachal. Kachal is the udder of the cow. And now the halacha is that the only kind of basar v'chalav that's a problem is if you have basar cooked together with chalav that was released from the animal while it was alive. In other words, chalav that was released by an animal after it's dead, because it was contained within the udder and the animal is dead now, that chalav is not usser if cooked together with the udder or with meat. That's not the kind of thing that would make an issue for basar v'chalav. So, however, even though midaraisa it's not usser, midarabanan kechal is usser. So the question is that, let's say you had a kachal and it made its way into your taravis, or let's say you cooked up a kachal. So now you quickly pull it out, you don't realize. Now the question is, how much heter do you need against the iser that you're dealing with in order for there to be no issue? So the Gemara asks this as a question. Do you need 60 of heter against whatever the kachal emitted, or do you need 60 of heter against the entire kachal? So the Gemara says, well, if you tell me that it's this, you need 60 against whatever it was that it was emitted by the kachal, how are you supposed to know how much was emitted by the kachal? You can't know how much was emitted by the kachal exactly. So therefore, the Gemara says, kachal, chazal established as a chaticha shel nevela. And so therefore, you're going to need 60 of heter against the entire kachal when you cooked it up. So there's a question, do you say that this idea of kachal applies to other organs within the animal as well? For example, what about the lave, which is soaked up with blood? Or let's say the kaveh, the liver, which is soaked up with blood. So what about for those things? Would you apply a similar idea of kachal to those things as well? So that's the machlokes between the Aruch HaChaim and the Sefer Truma. The Beis Yosef quotes both of them. The Aruch HaChaim says, kachal is a unique din. The Gemara is pretty clear that Chazal made kachal like a din, like a chaticha shel nevela. It's only kachal and no other organ. And so therefore, for lave, for a lave that was cooked up, or for a kavi that was cooked up, you can just more or less estimate the amount of isher that may have been deposited into the rest of the taravis. The Sefer Truma disagrees. The Sefer Truma says, what are you talking about? The whole idea behind kachal is that you don't know how much isher was emitted by that kachal. You don't know how much of it was contributed into the rest of the taravis. So similarly, any case where you don't know exactly how much isher was contributed into the rest of the taravis, you're going to have a problem on your hands. Okay, so that's in terms of the general makar. So what about when it comes to kalim? We see that this idea of kachal applies to meat and to food, but what about when it comes to kalim? For example, let's say you have a treifa pat, or you have a treifa spoon. You use a spoon to cook nevela or something. So now you use this spoon in order to stir your chicken soup. So what's the dinner? Or you use this treif pot in order to cook your chicken soup. So what's the halacha? You don't know how much Isser is contained within the spoon. You don't know how much Isser is contained within the pat. So do you say a similar idea of kachal to this pat or to this spoon as well? So there is a little bit of machlokes between the Rishonim. The Ravid says that the application of kachal to kalim should be for kalim that mimic kachal. In other words, the idea behind kachal is that kachal cannot be restored to a status of heter. So similarly, any keli that cannot be restored to a status of heter is the kind of keli that you'd apply this yisayid of kachal. And therefore, if you have something, let's say, like cheres, that once it absorbs Isser, it can never be restored to its state of heter, so then we would apply this musig, this idea of kechal, and therefore you would need 60 parts of heter against whatever kli, if you're using a pottery spoon to stir a pot, you would need 60 of heter against the entire treif cheres spoon. However, if we were dealing with metal or with wood, you would be able to more or less estimate how much Isser could have been transmitted by this kli. That's the Ravid's argument. However, many Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ran, Tosfos, the Rashba, they all disagree with that idea. And they say, no, the idea of kachal applies to all kalim equally. And therefore, if you used a treif spoon or a pot for cooking, you're going to need 60 of heter against the entire pot or the entire amount of that spoon. Now, the question is, though, let's say you only use the tip of the spoon for when you were cooking the nevela. So when I use the spoon, I only use the edge of the spoon in order to do the stirring. And now I took this spoon and I stirred it up in my chicken soup pot. So do you need against the entire spoon or only can I get the amount that the spoon was submerged into the iser? So that's actually machlokes. The Rashba seems to hold that you need 60 against however much of the spoon was submerged in Isser. So therefore, if only half of the spoon was submerged in Isser when you were cooking nevela or whatever treif thing it was being used to cook, so then you're not going to need 60 of heter against the entire volume of the spoon. You're only going to need 60 of heter against whatever half of the spoon it was. However, the Rebbeinu Peretz has an interesting idea. The Rebbeinu Peretz says there's an idea of cham ksas or cham kulo. So because this metal spoon, if we're dealing specifically with a metal spoon, not with any other medium, so with a metal spoon, because there's cham ksas or cham kulo, because it's it conducts, so therefore the heat travels up. And if the heat travels up, then that means the tam in the spoon travels up. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference if only a portion of the spoon was submerged in your iser, you're going to need 60 parts of heter against the entire spoon, not just a little bit. Now, if you take a look at the Mechaber in Siman Tzadiches, Siv Dalid, the Mechaber quotes first the Rashba, and then he quotes Rabbeinu Peretz. The Mechaber writes in Siman Tzadiches, Siv Dalit, Isser Shenis Bashel and Heter, Afilim Makiro, Vuhushalim Vizarko, even if you're able to throw out the whole piece of Isser, Tzarch Shishim Kenega Kola Isser. So this is like what we said before, that Avada, the idea of Kachal applies to all meat. Because you don't know exactly how much Isser was deposited by the piece of Isser into the rest of your Taraivas. Levichach, HaMavashu B'Kederas Isser. Let's use the treif of pat, Shehi Bas Yoma, Otach of Kafshel Isser Beheter, or use a treif spoon, and now use the treif spoon to stir your chicken soup. Tzarch Shishim Keneged Kol HaKeder. You need 60 against the entire pot. U'Keneged Kol Ma Shetach of Mehakaf. And you need 60 against whatever amount of the kaf was submerged. Because we don't know how much was absorbed into the spoon. Whether these kalim were made out of cheres or wood or metal. So clearly the Mechaber presents first the shita of the Rashba. However, the Mechaber continues and says, "V'yesh mish machmer." There is that opinion that is machmer, but kafshal mateches. That when it comes to a metal spoon, lahatzrich shishim nekenege kulo, that we need 60 against the entire spoon. Afilu lo hichnes el mikzas mishum decham mikzaso cham kulo. In other words, the Mechaber starts up by quoting the Rashba, and then at the end he quotes "V'yesh mish machmer," the shita of the Rebbeinu Peretz. Okay, now. Continuing with this idea of using a treif spoon to stir your chicken soup, there's a slightly different question that comes up, and that is, let's say you know exactly how much Isser was absorbed within the spoon. Let's say you know that you bought a fresh brand new spoon and you used it to stir cheese, and the amount of cheese you used was 1 ounce of cheese, and you use this spoon to melt cheese in a pot, so you know that at most, the most cheese that this came into contact with was 1 ounce of cheese. And now I take this spoon, which is really milchik right now, and I took this milchik spoon and I stirred my chicken soup with it. So what do you say? Do you need 60 parts of chicken soup against the entire spoon, or do you need 60 parts of chicken soup against the 1 ounce of you need against 1 ounce, which we know is the amount of cheese that the spoon came into contact with? So this is a little bit of a machlekes. The Rashba says that in this case, if you know exactly how much heter there was, so then all you need is 60 parts of heter in order to be mevatel the iser. But let's say, though, you didn't just use this spoon for stirring 1 ounce of cheese one time. Let's say you used it many, many times for many different things, and the spoon is a ben yomo. And then you take this ben yomo spoon, and you use it to stir up your chicken soup pot. Now we say that you need 60 against the entire spoon. But comes the Ramban, and the Ramban says, I kind of disagree with this entire point. The Ramban says, you're nervous over here about blios that are within the spoon. And you're nervous that the blios that are contained within this spoon became treif. And because you're dealing with this treifa blia, you're going to need 60 of heter against the entire spoon, or whatever amount of blios are contained within the spoon. The Ramban says, I totally disagree with this point. We don't say chaticha atmanas as nevela for blios contained within kalim. That's how the Ramban. So this is a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ramban. If you say that the idea of Hanan applies to beliefs within Kalim and not, the Rashba clearly holds that we do say Hanan when it comes to beliefs within Kalim, and the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says we don't say Hanan when it comes to Kalim. Now, the Ran presents both of these shittas, and the Ran seems to be Naita. He seems to be inclined more towards the opinion of the Ramban. Now, how does the Tor paskin? So that's actually a little bit of a debate between the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe. The Beis Yosef thinks that the Tor is actually paskins like the Rashba, to be machmer, to say that there is such a thing as Hanan when it comes to Belios of Isser in a kli. The Darkei Moshe says that the Beis Yosef learned pshat in the Torah incorrectly, and that the Torah actually paskins like the Ramban to say that there is no such thing as Hanan when it comes to Kalim. Now, there is one more sheet, and that's the sheet of the Mordechai. The Mordechai actually says that Hanan applies to kli cheres. So, how do we paskin? So if you take a look in the Mechaber and the Ramah, in Tzadiches, Sifches, so in Tzadiches, Sifches, the Mechaber paskins as follows. The Mechaber writes, Kechaum is bat betisha v'chamishim. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the Mechaber. But if you take a look, where is the line? Sorry, just give me 1 second, please. Here, in Tzadiches, sorry, not Tzadiches Ches, Tzadiches Hey. The Mechaber writes, in Tzadiches Hey, Im Yedua, Kamahua Isser, if you know exactly how much Isser went into the spoon, Kigon Kav Chadash, you had a fresh, brand new spoon, Oshayin Abbas Yoma, Shanirba, Ubala'a Kazayas Chalav, Vachagach Nirba Kedir Shabasar, Ein Tzarech Lashishan Levatal Kazay Shabala. You only need 60 against the exact amount that's contained within the spoon. Says the Rama, Velo Armina Gavi Kli Chaticha Nasis Nevela, Afilum Nia Robo Isser. We wouldn't say Kli Chaticha Nasis Nevela, even if you use it to stir Isser. Continues the Mechaber, Aval Kaf Yishana, let's say you had an old spoon that was used many, many times, Ubas Yoma, and it's currently a Ben Yomo. Visharina Bakula, you need 60 parts of heter against the entire spoon. And says the Rama, the Kol Masha Bala Nasa Isser, because every ounce that it absorbed was converted to Isser. We don't know exactly how much it absorbed. Now, as an afterthought, says the Mechaber, V'yishmi sha'omer sha'gam b'zu insarach ala shishim levatal kazayis shabala. Fine. But the Rama says, how do we paskin? We paskin like the first svara. Ha'svara rishana ikar. However, The Rambam then goes on to say, "V'yesha einan mechalkin ben kaf yashan lechadash, rak ben kli cheres l'shar kelim." There is that opinion out there, meaning the Mordechai, who does not distinguish between an old spoon and a new spoon, just between kli cheres and the other kelim, and that kli cheres, the ef shel lahafida israeli dehagala, which cannot. You cannot extract the Israel. The Agala Armina Hakli Nasa Nevela. Then we would say Hanan applies by such a kli. Avalobashar Kalim, and the Ramah says, Tov Lachush Lachumra, the Ayin Le'il Simit Sadi Beis. And Be'ez Hashem will talk about it, Blinetta, when we get over there. Okay, now, does it make a difference how the spoon became treif? Does it make a difference if it became treif by coming into contact with Isser by means of heat versus, let's say, by means of salt? So the Tarkim Rosh says, yeah, actually it does. He quotes from the Isser Vatar Arach, who says that if you're only going to need 60 against the entire spoon if the Isser was transmitted or was transfused into the spoon via heat. But let's say it was transfused via salt, so then you would only need 60 against a klipa's worth of that spoon. And that's in fact how the Ramah Paskins and Sadeches Dalet. Now, for the fourth topic over here, the question of do we need 60 of heter against the Isser if there's less than the Kazayas of Isser and the Terebis. Now, if you take a look in the Gemara in Chulin, Taf Tzadiches and Dalet, the Gemara discusses the case of Pago de Zayisa de Tar, but the Nafal Bedikla de Bisra. That let's say you had half a Zayis of Chalev that found its way into a pot of meat. So now what do you do? So Marbar Rav Ashi thought that in such a case, you're not dealing with a full-fledged Isser, you're dealing with half a Kazayas. A half a Kazayas is not meaningful, at least you wouldn't warrant any Chiyuv, Midaraisa. And therefore Marbar Rav Ashi thought that maybe you could even get away with using 30 parts of Heter instead of 60 parts of Heter to be Mevatel that Chalev. So Rav Ashi told Marbar Rav Ashi, his son, he told him, no, don't. I thought I told you not to be Mezalzel, not to be mazalz, even for Darabanans. In other words, even for Issa Darabanans, you need 60 parts of Heter. And certainly in this case, where you're dealing with Chelev, and it's a Chatzi Shir, and Chatzi Shir is Asur Mina Torah. So if you take a look in the Mechaber, in Tzadi Ches Vav, the Mechaber actually paskins this way. The Mechaber says outright, Kechatzi Zayis Shal Issa, Shanatzar Beheter, Tzarek Shishim, Chatzai Zayse, Heter, Levat. You're going to need 60 parts of Heter in order to be Mavat. Okay. Now, the fifth and final topic that I would like to discuss is what can be used to comprise the 60 parts of Heter. And in particular, whether Isser can make up that 60 parts, can contribute at least to the 60 parts to Mivatl. If you take a look, there's a mission in Arlam, second parak. It says as follows. We know that it takes 200 parts of Heter in order to be Mivatl, Arla, or Klaim. So the question is as follows. Let's say I had 200 parts of Heter. And now Arla falls into this great big bowl filled with Heter. So this Arla falls into 200 parts of Heter. So the Arla should be bottled. So now what happens, though, if you have Klayim, you have, let's simplify things a little bit. Let's say you start off with 200 cups of Heter and 1 cup of Arla. So we know that the 1 cup of Arla is going to be bottled in the 200 cups of Heter. But what happens if now, after the Arla is bottled in this great big bowl, what happens if I have 1.25 cups of Klayim that falls into this Taribis? What would you say? Do you say you need 200 parts of bona fide, genuine Heter, Chulin, in order for the Klayim to be bottled? Or do you say that no, Lemaisa, the net that you have of non-Klayim items in this bowl is 201. And because you have 201, that can be Mevatel, the Klayim that you're dumping in. So the Mishnah tells you that you can use Arla to be Mevatel Klayim. In fact, we would say that if the Arla was bottled in the whole bowl of Chulin, and now one and a little bit of Klayim makes its way in, that would be bottled. Similarly, if you take a look at the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Ein Chesem and Aleph, the Gemara over there, we know that obviously if you have a carbon that became pigle or noiser or tameh, you're not allowed to eat that carbon. The question is, what happens if I took three pieces of meat, a small piece of pickle, a small piece of nose, and a small piece of tummy, and I took it all and I mushed it up and I put it into my mouth, and I chewed it up real good, and now I ate it. So am I chayiv? So the halach is that you're potter. So why am I potter? The answer is, because as Rashi explains it, is that because as I'm chewing it up, the noser and pickle are mevatel the tummy. the noser and tamei are mevatel the pigle, and the tamei and pigle are mevatel the noser. So in other words, every ounce of heter, the majority of iser that you have against the minority of iser is going to be mevatel. And so what you see very clearly here is that iser can be mevatel iser. And so the Rush actually passed in this way in a tshuva, and he wanted to say, take it to the following case. He wanted to say, let's say you have a pat with 29 units of heter, and one unit of chelev. So I have a total of 30 in one pat, 29 heter, one part chelev. And then in a second pat, I have 30 parts heter and one part of dam. So in other words, I have a total of 31 in the second pat. Now the two pats combine. What's the din? Do you say that lamaisa, there's 60 parts against the chelev and there's 60 parts of the, against the dam? Or do you say that no, you have iser comprising that 60, and therefore it's not going to be mevatel. So says the Rush, in light of this Mishnah and the Gemara in Zvachim, you can use iser to be mevatel iser. And in fact, if you take a look at the Mechaber in Siman Tzadiches Sif Tes, the Mechaber actually passes this way. The Mechaber writes, "Kadei Rishayish ben Nasinas Tam Zaysim." I'm sorry. Nun Tes Zaysim Heter, V'Naflu Ba Shnei Zaysim Echad Shel Dam VeEchad Shel Chalav. Then it's all mutter. Now, the Shach jumps in over here and he says, well, wait a second. You're telling me now that how exactly is this going to work with the Rush's case? In the Rush's case, I had one bowl that I had one part of chelev that fell into 29 parts of heter. And in a different bowl, I had 30 parts of heter and one part of dam. Well, I don't understand. When the one part of chelev fell into the bowl of 29, that should become aser, because you don't have 60 parts of heter against the chelev. Similarly, when I have the bowl of 30 with the one part of dam, that should become aser, because there isn't 60 parts of heter against the dam. So how is the case if you can get off the ground? So the Shach gives you three possibilities of what the case could be. Either the dam and the chelev all fell in at the same time, or we're dealing with the case of lach balach, and so there's no issue of chanan over here, or there's no yediyah. And we know that according to the Ramah, the way that we paskin is that if you weren't aware of the Tarivis until the very, very end, when everything was mixed together, then that's where the Tarivis is complete, and that's where we were passing the Shaila for. So that's in terms of how we're passing for over there. Now, what would be in a case, let's say, with cheese and meat? Would that make a difference? Let's say I had two zaysim. I had one kazayas of cheese, one kazayas of butter, and that all got mixed up together. Could that comprise the 60 mevat one another? Says the Darkei Moshe from the Isra V'Tarach. Yes, it can, and that's in fact how the Ramah paskins in Tzadiches Tes. Now, one final point, and that is, when we talk about 60, you need bitul b'shishim. Does that mean that you need 60 parts of heter against the iser, or does that mean you need a total of 60? And so what that really means is that you need 59 parts of heter against the one part of iser. So if you take a look at the Rambam Machlokes Asuras Halachat Hazvav, what he says is that the only iser derabanan that can't be part of the 60 is shuman agid. In other words, any other kind of iser derabanan that you're dealing with, we would only need 59 parts of heter in order to be mevatel it. So according to the Rambam, for Yisur and Daraisa, certainly you need 60 parts of heter against the Isser. For Yisur and Darbanan, if we're dealing with Shuman Agid, then you need 60 parts of heter against the Isser. But for any other Isser Darbanan, you need 59 parts of heter against it. But comes the Rashbam, and the Rashbam disagrees. He says, no, all Yisurim are created equally. All Yisurim require 60 parts of heter against it. And that's in fact how the Beis Yosef paskins, he paskins like the Rashbam, and the Mechaber doesn't seem to be mechalik between any kinds of Yisurim and Tzadiches. Okay.